Glory. Glory to God. Come on, God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
His mercy.
Forever
and ever and ever and ever, amen. I might not have a big amen corner, but I've got a few this evening, and I just trust that God is going to be with us. We're so excited about, you know, the opportunity to come and share the word of God and relate what I feel like God has for us tonight. It's so good. Before we get into the word, I just want to make a couple of statements and announcements. The church, as we've been going through this moving process from the move to the cleaning up to everything, the support, even during this quarantine time, you guys have just been excellent, and I just can't tell you how much it affects my heart to see the support and really the love that's been displayed. It's really remarkable, and I thank God for you, but I also thank you for all that you've done and all that you do, and we just want to honor you and praise, you know, God for you. And but if you're struggling at this time, you know, if you're alone, if you're whatever, don't hesitate to call, or call somebody that you know might be alone. Just reach out and touch people. Pentecost Sunday is coming up this weekend, and I believe there's a shifting and there's a breaking. Just today, Governor Inslee said that those in the phase one situation could go to drive-in meetings, and the next phase we can go to different type of meetings and stuff. We're not ready to do the drive-in thing, and so we probably won't do that. But as soon as the phase two opens up for Kitsap County, we'll be making an announcement of when we're going to start opening up. And again, when we open up, we'll be at the Seventh Day Adventist Church of Port Orchard, not in their sanctuary, but up in their multi-use facility, which is up the hill. And we'll have signs and all that when that time comes. But know that I can't wait for y'all to be here, and there's just something about us being in person and watching God move. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight I'm excited about the word, and I'm excited about what I feel like God is telling me. Because I believe that during this quarantine time, this time that we can't meet, you know, whether you know, however this came to pass, I believe that God would love to have our full attention so that he can speak to our hearts. But he can't speak to our hearts fully unless we give him attention. So I want to speak about my servant in whom I'm well pleased. I want to talk about servanthood a little bit, but from a little bit different perspective. So if you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to start out in verse 13. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out, and he was restored and whole as the other. Jesus had just healed a man, but it was on the Sabbath. So the Pharisee, or the religious folks, went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and I will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and his name Gentiles will trust." It's talking about Jesus, and it's talking about how that he fulfilled the prophecy that was in Isaiah. And today, I believe that we're living in a prophetic day. Now, I've heard it said many times, and I've thought about it too. Won't it be great when we get to heaven, and we can talk to Abraham, or we can talk to Joseph, or we can talk to Adam, or we can talk to some of the saints that lived, and we've read all of the cool stories and how God used them in the Bible. But as one man said, he said, "I think that the people are going to come up to us and say, what was it like living in the last day. What was it like when God was pouring out his Spirit on the earth? What was it like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? They're going to be amazed at what we have, but yet I don't think that we fully take advantage of that and make that a part of our daily lives. Go to Acts chapter 2, and let's look here for just a second. I believe that we are all children of God. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Now watch this. He's there to be our comforter. He's there to be our advocate. He's there to work in our lives. But that's not the full purpose. He wants you to be his ambassador. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that we are now his ambassadors. He's given us ambassadorship. And what does that mean? That means that we've been called by heaven with a message to proclaim to those that we come in contact with. It's just like an ambassador for the United States. If he's in Yemen, for instance, he goes over to Yemen, he lives in Yemen, right? But his message that he proclaims is not his message, but it's the message of the United States. And when he speaks in Yemen for the United States, he speaks with the authority that the United States has given him. And so when we're called as ambassadors, we're also his servants. And I believe that God wants you to know, he wants me to know, that he has a plan for our lives, but our plan is not just so that we live out our lives and we go through, you know, the 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years or 120 years and just live our lives and say, well, boy, wasn't that fun. What we want to do is we want to be filled with his Spirit so that we can be used by him while we're here. If you look in Acts chapter 2, and this is on the day of Pentecost, we're coming up to Pentecost right now, and Sunday is Pentecost, and I believe that God is going to pour out his Spirit again. I believe in my heart that this quarantine and everything that's been going on in the world is to get our attention, because God wants to do a dramatic outpouring of his Spirit so that the world can see Jesus again. The world doesn't want to hear, you know, just our preaching or our arguments or our hatred. They want to see God in us in a tangible way so that they can know that they know that they know that Jesus is real. But look at this. And again, they were there at the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Spirit. They went out in the street and it was like, you know, they looked like they were drunk. And listen to what Peter said. He said in verse 15, "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Isn't this interesting? He said, just like he said to Jesus, he said, "I'm going to pour out of my Spirit." He said on my servant when Jesus was talking, it was fulfilled out of Isaiah, "I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon my servant." And here he's saying, "I'm going to pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, my sons and my daughters." We'll get into that in just a minute. But what does that mean? That means that if we are children of God, if Jesus is Lord of our lives, if the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, God wants to pour out on us. Come on. And not only does he want to pour out on us, as it says in John, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. He doesn't want to just pour out on us. He wants to pour out through us. And why? Just so that we can have a name? No. In fact, ideally, when the Holy Spirit is using us, people won't even remember our names. They'll just say, "Man, we came in contact with God today. God spoke to me today. He used this man or used this woman, but God spoke to me." And that's, again, the job of an ambassador is to represent the one that has given them the message to speak. And so this is so exciting because, again, he says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, some people say, well, does that mean that we're all prophets? No, that's not what it means. I believe that when it says prophesy here, what this means is a divinely inspired utterance. And what does that mean? God's going to tell you what to say. That's what it means, that you'll have something from the Spirit of God to say to somebody else. Why? Because God wishes that all men might be saved. He wishes that every person that's alive today would come into a relationship with Him. He wishes that even those that seem to be far out would come into a relationship with Him. And they need to hear the heart of God for them. But God has put in the pattern or the plan for to use humans for that to come to pass. Now that's incredible, but I want to share with you that even today, people are hungry to hear the authentic, true Word of God coming from the hearts of people like you and me. I my heart was saddened this week, and I don't remember the young man's name, but this is a young man, grew up in church, and got into Christian music, and he was now the lead singer of a Christian band, and we even sing, I think, some of his songs in worship and stuff. But he announced this week that he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe that God really exists. He's no longer a Christian. Man, that there's something missing about that. There was another gentleman, wrote book, Christian book, this was a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago. He just came out and said, you know, I don't really believe in God anymore. What? How can that be? I believe it's so sad, but I believe it's because we're not really hearing from the Spirit of God through the children of God. Now, I know we have an enemy out there, and I know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But here's what I'm believing for, and here's what I want to come at this time. I want God to begin to use us, to put in our heart a heart of compassion, a heart of love, a heart of conviction, and that we might put on ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, so that when somebody comes to us with a prayer request or somebody comes to us with an answer, we won't have a canned answer, but the Holy Spirit in that self-same hour will give us the words that we need to speak, because God is trying to get a hold of people's hearts. And He wants to use you and me. And He said, come on, in that last day, Joel said, in that last day, that He'll pour out His Spirit on His sons and His daughters. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams, and on His men servants and on His maid servants I will pour out My Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon and blood before the coming and the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, really, it all boils down. You know, I've witnessed praying for people and seeing them healed. I've witnessed, you know, Jesus talked about how that, you know, stretch out your hand and He was healed. When we were in Uganda a few years ago, it was so amazing, but there was a Divine Healing Night, the pastor called it, and it was on a Friday night. It was Miracle Service is what it was called. And I preached a message, and then God began to give me words of knowledge. And what does that mean? That simply means I was impressed in my heart to call out somebody with a certain condition. And when I called it out, a lady came up. And when she came up, God healed her. Not only did God heal her, but there was some demonic influence. God delivered them. Those demons left. Come on, is that crazy? No, it's natural, you know, supernatural in the natural. But all of that, as wonderful as that is, and I've seen people's legs grow out. I've seen people who came in with lupus leave without lupus. I've seen some of those things, but that just doesn't even compare to when I see one person truly give their heart to Jesus. Because God's will is for all men to be saved. And here's the message tonight. Are we servants in whom the Lord is well pleased? That's my heart. My heart is, and I don't always measure up to this, and sometimes I wonder why God doesn't just strike me dead because I see all of my faults, right? But He doesn't see us that way. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us as pure and holy before Him. He sees us as vessels of the Holy Spirit that He wants to use to be ambassadors. Why? Because He wants to show the world that He's alive, that He's real, and answer questions that people have, show His compassion towards those who are hurting. He wants us to be the Jesus that people see. That's so awesome to me. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, I've been in this for a long time, went through the charismatic renewal and went through different phases. We've seen the river move. We've seen the word of God take off. I mean, back in the 80s, it was not uncommon to see a room, I mean, stadiums full of people that were so hungry for the word of God that they would sit for 2 hours with notebooks and just taking notes the whole time because the word was so pouring forth so prevalently at the time. And yet, I believe that God wants to pour out of His Spirit on these days because it is the last days. If you don't realize that, if you can't see that in the times that we're living in, then you need to pray and ask God to reveal that to you because I really feel like we're there. In fact, I'm not saying that this was the Antichrist or the one world order or anything, but even this virus thing and how easily people were all shut down and confined and told what to do, and it just reeks of things I've read in the New Testament about what's going to happen in the last days. So I think we're right there. I think we're so close that Jesus could come any moment. But I don't want to focus on His coming. I want to focus on occupying until He comes. What does that mean? I want to do what He wants me to do while I'm still here. Glory to God. And I want that for every one of us. He said upon His young men, His old men, young women, old women. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. The Holy Spirit wants to use you tonight to work His work. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now he's talking to the whole church. And he's telling the church, he says, "Listen, I've got some things that I want to tell you, and I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to have knowledge of what I'm about to say." And I believe that he wants them to have a working knowledge. What do I mean by that? You can have a knowledge, but if you don't know how to put that knowledge into practice, it's just facts. But when you come down to where you know how to use those facts to produce something, it makes all the difference in the world. So he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led." Now look at it. He said, before you were saved, you were outside of the will of God. You were outside of the voice of God. You were outside of the Spirit of God, and you were just led by your flesh or whatever ideology that you were listening to. But he goes on, he says, "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now listen to this next verse. "There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit with all. And this is not a message on the gifts of the Spirit and how they're to operate and all of that. What I really want to say is that God wants us to prepare our hearts so that he can use us any way that he pleases. And again, I'm going to read this again, but it says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means when the Holy Spirit shows up, that's what it, this is what it looks like, right? When the Holy Spirit shows up, this is what it looks like. Now let's go on. Again, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What I'm saying is that God wants to use you. God wants to use me. But the reason that he wants to use us is so that others can profit by him using us. So again, if you go back on my sons and my daughters, they will prophesy. They will speak of things by my Spirit that are coming from heaven, but it's coming through their voice. It's coming through their bodies. It's because I'm speaking to them. I want to put a hunger on the inside of you that God wants to use you tonight. I can remember this was years ago. I hadn't been saved very long. And I don't recommend this method, but I was going to some Bible studies and I hadn't been saved but 2 or 3 months. But I'd been reading through the Gospels. And somebody came up to me and they said, listen, next Wednesday night, you're going to preach or you're going to teach the Bible study. And I went, but I was so hungry to please God. I've been so touched by God. I said, if God wants me to teach, I'll teach. And then I'd read in the Bible a very simple verse, but it says, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. So I said, okay, God, if you want to use me, you're going to have to give me the words to speak. And at that time, I hadn't been a student of the Bible very long. I had to go to the index of the Bible to find the book of the Bible. If you said to turn to 1 Corinthians, I'd have to find out where it is, you know, just like new believers do. But I just trusted that the Holy Spirit would use me. Now, again, I don't recommend this today, but God still does this to me today. I would go into a Bible study, and I'd open the Bible like this. I'd look down at it, and I'd say, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm telling you, without exaggeration, I had never read Romans chapter 5. I didn't study it. And again, I'm not recommending this, but what I'm telling you is that the Holy Spirit used my faith and used his word to touch people. People who weren't saved at the time, or people who hadn't been filled with the Spirit at the time, or people that had been disquieted at the time. God used the simplicity of somebody that just believed enough that God would give him the words to say, even though he was ignorant, for the profit of somebody else. See, that's what I'm talking about tonight, that God wants to use us, but we've got to come back to the simplicity of knowing that it's by his Spirit that we're going to get the job done. And so in saying that, I want to talk about and get back to, you know, where it was Acts chapter 2, it said about the prophet Joel and talking about the prophet Joel. Go with me to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And this is where Peter quoted out of. In verse 27, he said, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there's no other God. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Sun shall be turned to darkness and moon into blood before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now watch this. This is really incredible. And again, we read that out of Acts. It repeated it. But I want to tell you what was happening in the book of Joel, and I've mentioned this before, but in the book of Joel, what Joel was all about, it was announcing to the nation of Israel and to Judah that, look at, because of your sins, there's an army coming, and that army is going to take you into captivity. Because of your not following after God, you're not pursuing God, there's coming something to get your attention. Now, I'm not saying that God put the coronavirus on or any of that. I'm not getting into all of that. But what I am saying is, God getting our attention? Are we stopping for a minute and saying, okay, God, how does this work? And what are you saying to me? And what should I be involved with? But if you'll go back to verse 12 of Joel chapter 2, he says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Look at this. It says, turn to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. You see, it was the custom in the day, if you wanted to show that you were in repentance, you'd tear your clothes. If you're upset about something, you'd tear your clothes. And God's saying, look, I don't want the outside display. What I want is the inside display. I want to know, where is your heart with me? What are you doing with me? And see, today, and God's been dealing with me and about my own heart and about where I'm at. And, you know, at times I feel sorry for myself, and at times I talk to him about how hard it is and all that garbage, when the reality is, God, I want to be just like I was when I first got saved. I want to be used by you. I want to be available for your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon me so that you can use me so that other people can see Jesus in me, so that my life can be a reflection of who he is. I don't always attain to that, but as Paul said, I've not attained, but I'm pressing on. I may have missed it yesterday, but I'm picking myself back up, and I'm seeking the face of God. I want to come back to the place where I am turning to the Lord again with all of my heart. It's amazing, because those who've been saved for a while, and they, you know, at one time they were just so in love with Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and his presence was just so easy to come by. When they walk away from that for a while, and it's usually not an instantaneous thing, it's usually a walk that happens progressively over time, that when they want to turn back, it doesn't seem to come as easy the second time. In other words, they say, Lord, I repent, I ask for your presence to come, and it seems like they got to break some barriers in order to get back to the place that they were. And I think because we aren't simple in our faith, we don't trust that God really forgives us when we ask him to forgive us, but we must ask him to forgive us from our whole heart, from a sincerity of heart. And James said, look at, he said, you need to weep and to mourn and to get to a place where your repentance is real, where your humbleness before God is, God, I want you more than I want anything else. I want you more than I want your hand. I want your heart more than I want your blessings. I want what you want more than anything, right? And if we get to that place, God can begin to use us again. And it might take us some time, and it might take us to change our habits. It might take us to get into a discipline where we're seeking God on a continual basis, because we feel like God wants to use us. Well, now let's go on. Verse 14 says, who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep before the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O God, and do not give your heritage reproach. The nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the prophets, where is their God? In other words, it's a place of we recognize, God, that we need you, and we're coming back to you with our whole heart. We're going to quit doing our religious service, and we're going to get on our face before you and say, God, what is it that we need to do personally to come back to the place where you can use us in a way that other people can be blessed? You see, I believe that God wants to pour out of His Spirit upon us today. But I believe also that we need to be in a place where we're eagerly seeking God so that we can hear His voice in order to prophesy. Yeah. Right? It's time for us to have prayer meetings. You know, one of the least attended service in churches is the prayer meetings. Why? Because sometimes prayers work. And obviously that we don't believe prayer works, or we'd be at every one of them. Again, in Africa, and I know we're different here in America than they are in Africa, but they'll have all-night prayer meetings. Here in America, if we call an all-night prayer watch or watch service or whatever, most people are gone by 10 o'clock. A few stay till midnight, but none make it till 6 in the morning. And I just think that God is asking us to come back to a realization that we need Him and that we need to make an effort to seek Him, but seek Him from a place of faith. I'm not saying that we're going to earn His favor by doing this, or that we're, you know, if we do this much, He'll do this much. What I'm saying is we're trying to get our heart right to the place where we're hearing from Him so that we can do what He wants us to do. See, blow the trumpet in Zion. God is looking for His people to come back to Him. God is looking for His people to weep for the lost. God is looking for His people to come back to the place where they'll humble themselves, they'll act as servants, that they'll give up their will, they'll give up their ways, that they'll start to prefer their brothers, they'll quit envying, they'll quit being jealous, they'll quit, you know, allowing the enemy to come in and divide and to conquer. You know, God wants us to know that He's for us tonight, but He's for us for purpose. God wants to bless you. I believe that with all my heart. God wants to bless you. And God's not against you succeeding. God's not against you being blessed. God's not against you having things. But the reality of all of that doesn't mean a thing unless God has your heart fully. Because if He has your heart fully, here's the test. Say God, you know, gave you $1 million, gave you a brand new car, gave you something that you've really been desiring. If He spoke to you, would you give it away? If He spoke to you, would you go where He told you to go? If He spoke to you, would you say, Lord, I don't want to, but I'm going to do it because I've heard your voice? See, that's the kind of heart that God is looking for. The rich young ruler didn't turn away because Jesus pushed him away. The rich young ruler walked away because his heart was not fully toward Jesus. So what I'm asking you tonight is to turn your heart back toward him. Spend some time tonight. Say, God, I just want to come before you tonight, and I just want to ask you to speak to my heart. And Lord, if there's anything that I've done, Lord, that's outside of your will, forgive me for that. But Lord, I'm pursuing you for what you would have me to do with my life, right? Husbands, begin to ask God how to love your wife. Wives, begin to ask God how to become submissive to your husbands. You know, come on, children, learn how to honor your parents. And if your heart is not there, if you've been pulled away because of society, say, God, I need to come back to you. I need to get back into your word and figure out what your standard is. Because God, what you say is more important to me than popularity. What you ask me to do is more important than my reputation. What you want me to do, Father, that's what I want. I want to be used by you. I'm hungry, God, for your spirit to move through me tonight. Tonight, God, would you speak to my heart again? Would you show me again? Would you bring people across my path that I could bless? If you'll do that and you're sincere about it and you'll trust that the Holy Spirit will use you, you'll be amazed at who he brings by. Amen? Amen. So tonight, let's seek God. Tonight, let's go before him. Tonight, let's ask him to look into our hearts. Tonight, let's give him our hearts completely. I'm going to lead you in prayer, but right where you are, in your home tonight, wherever you're watching this, just take a moment and talk to God for yourself, right? Because he's there, he's listening to you. I feel his presence so strong, and I know that he's speaking to hearts right now. But let me pray for you and with you. Father, I just come before you, and I humble myself before you. Again, I'm grateful for you using me. I'm grateful for your spirit. I'm grateful, Lord, that these simple sounds that have come from my body are, I believe, from heaven. And I ask you to just touch every heart. And Lord, collectively as an assembly over the air, Lord, I just come with every person that's listening, and I say, Lord, here's our heart. And we ask you to speak to our heart. Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to make every second of our lives count for your glory. Forgive us for complaining about things we don't understand. And Lord, use us from this day forward to touch the hearts of people so that more people can come to know you. More people can come into your kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit, and use us as we walk in your will. We just thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you're listening and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, as the Bible said, you call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. I know people that have just said, Jesus, I need you, and their lives have been changed. But the key is to say it from your heart and mean business with God. Confess Jesus as Lord. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Jesus is Lord, and that God's raised him from the dead. And Lord, I just give you my life. I ask you to be Lord of my life. Come now. And maybe you've been saved and you feel like, you know, the Spirit of God hasn't been using you. I'm going to ask you right now to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with himself. Right now, right where you're at. You can receive your prayer language. You can hear his voice clearer than you've ever heard it before. Trust him that he wants to speak to you. And in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Father, for touching everybody tonight. Heal the bodies. Provide the needs, Lord. Give us direction. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.